The sermon this morning will be presented by the Reverend Connie Yost. Reverend Yost is an affiliated community minister with First Church Portland. She is the founder and coordinator of Friends Stay Warm, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to supporting low-wage workers through utility assistance and advocacy. She works in partnership with the Western Farm Workers Association, Friends of Seasonal and Service Workers, and Farm Ministry Northwest. As a minister, spiritual director, entrepreneur, and advocate for the poor, Connie has been deeply influenced by the words and works of Dorothy Day, who stated, "The greatest challenge of the day is how to bring about a revolution of the heart, a revolution which has to start with each one of us." Please welcome Reverend Connie Yost.
Thank you, Patrick. Well, how's that? A few years ago, I went to our ministers' retreat for UU ministers, and it was called the Institute on Excellence in Ministry. I had not attended it before, but I had heard so many good things about it that I vowed I would go for the next one. And so I did. Wow. Imagine 425 UU ministers worshiping and sharing bread and learning together. It was all awesome, but it was the worship that really got me. The music, the silence, the singing, the readings, the preaching. My God, what beautiful hurting souls we all are. I think church, when we really do it right, celebrates who we are, who we really are. And if you're anything like me, you have your successes and failures in life, your gifts and gaffes, your regrets and dreams. But no matter our age, state of our health, current or past history, we have a soul which longs to connect to a force greater than our own. I submit that this force is love. It is compassion. It's what I would call God. The Quakers often refer to this force as the light. You may have a name you prefer or no name. Thomas Merton called it mercy within mercy within mercy. Think about that for a moment. Think about a love so deep and so vast that it is pure compassion. Mercy within mercy within mercy. I am a fan of Merton's work on contemplation, which is not something that we do, but something that we are. It's our way of being. It's being in right relationship with ourselves, with others, and with God, and with all of creation. Well, it's easy for me to think about being contemplative and in right relationship when I am in nature. After the minister's retreat, I spent a few days walking the Florida beaches, practicing the Sanibel stoop as I hunted for shells on Sanibel Island. I saw many birds, turtles, and gators at the national parks and the wildlife refuge. I went out on a boat tour in the Everglades. No sooner had I told the captain that I really wanted to see a roseate spoonbill than one appeared right in front of us and flew around for a few moments. Floating through a narrow passageway filled with the air roots of the mangrove forest, I felt deep peace and contentment. Even while walking the boardwalk in Miami Beach, I felt at one with all there is. But reflecting later on the minister's retreat, I realized that I had had an important contemplative moment there. On the second day of the retreat, I realized that I was struggling with feelings of inadequacy, being one of the few community ministers in attendance with the programming heavily geared towards parish ministry. I felt like I did not have a lot to offer in some ways, and in other ways, I felt that my entrepreneurial community ministry is new and cutting edge, but little understood. So on my morning walk on the beach, I found myself ruminating about my strengths and weaknesses, how others perceive me or don't get me, reminding myself how hard it is to do something new, and so on and so on. Suddenly I look up and I notice the pelicans diving and all the seabirds and the old people out for a walk. Well, mercy got a hold of me and shook me hard, shook all those thoughts right out of my head. It is the emptying that Merton talks about, the letting go of conflict and competition, the opening to being in right relationship. And in that emptying, the judgments that I had been carrying about myself and others just disappeared, and a deep peace and compassion took its place. So hold that image of mercy within mercy within mercy as I shift gears a little bit now, but I'm going to come back to it later. At the minister's retreat, we spent a fair amount of time talking about church growth or lack thereof. For years now, it's well documented that the mainline Protestant churches are all in decline. The UUA reports that our membership has grown in proportion to the general population in the United States since 1990, but the average age of UUs has also increased, which worries church growth experts. You know, in some ways it seems that church decline and theories on church growth is all that I have studied and read and talked about since starting seminary. Can Our Church Live? Was one of the books I read in seminary. I spent a full school year as a ministerial intern in a declining Protestant church, educating myself and the congregation on how we might thrive and grow again in a community that had changed while the church had not. These days, the UUA is funding positions like church growth specialists, and there's a lot of emphasis on reaching the younger demographic through technology and social media. An outlining of strategies of how to attract those who are spiritual but not religious or respond none when asked about their religion. Do we want our church to live? Of course. We love our church. We have a lot to offer others, and we definitely want them to come and worship with us. But I ask you, do we have to spend all our time and energy shoring up our anxieties about church growth? What about us becoming a missional church? A UU, missional church movement. Now let me define what I mean by missional church. The Reverend Ron Robinson is a community minister in Turley, a Unitarian Universalist, in Turley, Oklahoma, and he's written a lot about this and has helped me understand what the potential is for our movement. He says that if people are not coming to your church, the missional church says, go to them. Quit thinking of the church as a what, as an it. And remember, it is a who. Church is about covenant, about people, about right relationships. So what does the missional church look like? It's the coffeehouse church that some young UU ministers are starting in San Francisco. It's the Universalist Recovery Church that UU Community Minister Barbara Stevens started in East Portland. It's the community center, garden, food pantry, and neighborhood advocacy work done by Ron Robinson and his band of volunteers. It's the affordable and low-income housing project First Church LA decided to do on land that was slated to be a parking lot. It's the nonprofit organic farm I founded in Los Angeles as a job training program for at-risk youth who help feed the low-income community. Just like Jesus came preaching his parables, like our reading today about the man who was a fool, he turned the Jewish world of his time upside down. And the missional church turns us around. The missional church does not have a mission. The mission has a church. And what is this mission? In Christian Judeo terms, the mission is that God has designated us as the sent people to fulfill God's mission on earth. And what is God's mission on earth? To extend love, compassion, and mercy within mercy within mercy to all living beings. So in Unitarian Universalist terms, the mission, should we choose to accept it, is to live out our values, especially those of love, compassion, and mercy in the world by living in right relationships with our nearest neighbors. The mission does not ask how many new members we have. It asks, what have you done for the very least of these, my people, my beings? The world needs compassion and a lot of it. We live in a hard time. There are too many people hurting, and there is too much poverty. There is too much hatred. There is too much violence. There is too much degradation of the planet. There is so much we want to change. We wonder if our little efforts will ever really matter. Some of us have worked for change all our lives and feel hopeful that change is possible. But there's a growing number of people who feel that maybe there's no hope at all. That hope, in fact, is dangerous. Margaret Wheatley wrote a book 20 years ago in which she believed that she could change the world by showing that there is another way. She does not believe that anymore. In her book, So Far From Home, Lost and Found in Our Brave New World, she writes that our present global culture, with its emphasis on greed, self-interest, consumerism, and coercive power, is leading us deeper into the darkness, farther from the values, objectives, and ideals we've worked valiantly to create. I no longer believe that we can save the world. Powerful, life-destroying dynamics have been set in motion which cannot be stopped. We're on a disastrous course with each other and with the planet. We've lost track of our best human qualities and forgotten the real sources of satisfaction, meaning, and joy. Whoa. She does not say this lightly. She does not want us to fall into despair and do nothing at all. But what she asks is that we give up the hope of results. She writes, how do we find this deep confidence that, independent of results, our work is the right work for us to be doing? Hope can be an ambush, because what lays in wait is hope's ever-present companion, fear. The fear of failing, the despair of disappointment, the bitterness and exhaustion that can overtake us when our best, most promising efforts are rebuked, undone, ignored, destroyed. Beyond hope and fear, there is clarity available. The clarity of knowing that this work is ours to do no matter what. We may succeed, we may fail, but no matter what, we will continue to persevere on behalf of other human beings and the planet. Beyond hope and fear, yes, we may succeed, we may fail, but grasped by mercy, we want to be in right relationship. We want to do the work. Not because it will get results right now or possibly ever, but because it is the right thing to do. Can we as a missional church make a difference? Can we be present in real, tangible ways to our neighbors who are living in poverty? I say, yes, we can, if we dare. But we are going to have to go out into the neighborhood to do it. Your congregation, this wonderful West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, has decided to become a UU missional church. Did you know that? On this UU Community Ministry Sunday, and this Sunday has a lot going for it, I find. And I don't know if you knew that, but I am so happy to celebrate this with you. You have decided to reach out to your neighbors, our farm workers, and other low-wage workers right here in our area, and be in deep, right relationship with them. I am so honored and thrilled to be asked to come here today to join you and our friends from the Western Farm Workers Association as we imagine all that we can be together. After the service, I hope you'll join us downstairs and you'll have a chance to talk with our friends in more detail. But I wanted to take a moment now and introduce them to you. Leisha Anderson is the operations manager who has worked as a full-time volunteer for over 20 years on behalf of farm workers and other low-wage workers. Yes. And she's brought with her Lucas Burrows, who's also a volunteer. And Leisha's going to say a couple words about the other folks that couldn't make it today.
I bring greetings from some of the members of Western Farm Workers Association who are also hoping to be here with us today. We're coming off of 4 12-plus hour days of tamale making. So and a couple of sick children. So hopefully they will be able to join us next time we are here, and also say personally thank you to all of you who have already been such an important part of our work, and we're delighted to be here today. Love the music. Are very glad to be here with Reverend Yost as well. So thank you very much, and please come. We'll be down in Forest Hall after the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Leisha. So you as a congregation have decided to be in solidarity with the members of the Western Farm Workers Association. As you engage with the members, you will learn from them, break bread with them, cry with them, celebrate with them, and most of all, be with them. Be really with them. Unlike the man who was a fool in our reading, you know that we live in a world of interdependence. Your being a UU missional church gives you the opportunity to make friends and walk in solidarity with the people who work in the fields, in the kitchens, in the night cleaning offices, mostly unseen and rarely thought of as we buy our food at the grocery, eat in restaurants, and work in clean offices. These workers struggle in their poverty conditions intensified by racism, sexism, a broken immigration system, consolidated corporate power, and international trade policies. Our food system is built on exploited labor. It's a sad fact. Cesar Chavez reminded us years ago, and it's still true today, that every time we sit at a table or at night or in the morning to enjoy the fruits and grains and vegetables from our good earth, remember that they come from the work of men and women and children who have been exploited for generations. Too often we don't pay attention. We don't stop to think that even in this day and age, injustice remains an invisible ingredient in much of the food that we eat. Here at West Hills, you'll have the opportunity to engage in a multi-layered ministry with the folks from Western Farm Workers. There's a way that everyone can participate and help. Here's just a little sampling. Political advocacy at the state and local level is needed on bills related to the minimum wage exemptions, wage theft, driver's card, utility hikes, and shutoffs. Leisha has led these workers in the fight against Portland General Electric, which, while posting record profits, raises their rates just about every year. Last July, Washington County closed their remaining two public health clinics, despite testimony and picketing from over 100 people, including many Western Farm Worker members. Now many do not have access to health care or are faced with long wait times at Virginia Garcia, and sometimes they are asked to pay very large copays. Western Farm Workers works with attorneys, doctors, nurses to provide free medical clinics and eye clinics and dental clinics to their members. Volunteers are needed at the headquarters in Hillsborough to meet with members and assist them with their budgeting, negotiating their bills, understanding leases, and identifying resources to help them make ends meet. Volunteers are needed to pick up weekly donations of food from grocery stores in the greater Portland area. It's always needed donations of good clothing, toys, toiletries, school supplies, and other goods, and volunteers to help with their pickup and distribution. Cash assistance is needed to just help pay some bills. And volunteers can help with the many fundraisers and celebrations that they do, and that's really fun. I've volunteered twice now at the holiday party, and it's really fun. Kids have a mariachi band, and they dance, and you won't regret spending time there at all. And as you'll find out today, there's a fundraiser of the tamales and then also the truffles, which I have at First Unitarian, both very delicious, and you'll see what I mean. So this is just a sampling of what you can do to help out. In the end, you know, we may not be able to do everything that we want, everything that's needed, but we can do something, and we can act, and we can do, and we can dare to join with these workers in the struggle, and we can dare to win, even. It's been done before. It's being done right now with the success of the Immokalee workers in Florida, these tomato pickers who organized and stayed strong for years until one by one, companies like Taco Bell, McDonald's, Walmart, Burger King, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, and others signed fair food agreements. The workers gained one penny. That's right, just one penny. And it took years. But that one penny was a real wage increase for them. And it's led to now 90% of the tomato growers have implemented code of conduct for work, which is a real benefit in increase in worker conditions. And by the way, Wendy's and Kroger's, who owns Fred Meyer and QFC, still haven't agreed to the fair food standards, so let's organize a boycott of them. And I know that, yes, you work alongside Leisha and the members of Western Farm Workers, you will find other ways in which you can support and advocate for your neighbors. It is this relationship we have to our neighbors that will save us and them, both of us together in this thing we call life. That is what it means to be a missional church, a people of the covenant, a people of right relationships. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.